It's the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Grande, and we've got over 800 brand new Mazdas with outstanding incentives, like low monthly lease payments and low APR financing. Yep, it's just a great time to buy. So don't miss the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley,
this is CUDA Confidential,
the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Our next guest began his professional career under contract with the LA Kings. He's now in his 11th season of pro and his first with the San Jose Sharks organization. It's his fourth stint within the Pacific Division of the AHL after stops in Ontario, San Diego, Stockton, and now San Jose. He first broke into the National Hockey League with his hometown Ottawa Senators in the 2019-20 season. He's one of the toughest customers in the American Hockey League. We are proud to welcome Scott Sabourin to the CUDA Confidential podcast.
Welcome back to CUDA Confidential. We are pleased to be joined by Barracuda forward Scott Sabourin. Saps, first of all, thank you for the time. I want to ask, we're recording this on Halloween. You've got two youngsters. I'm sure they're ready to fill their bags with candy, and you're just trying to rally the troops at this point. What is it like to be a young parent this time of year when you've got to deal with the candy, you've got to deal with the costumes and everything else that goes into to a Halloween?
It's exciting, man. It's great to see the joy on my son's face getting to go out tonight and trick or treat. And it'll be my daughter's, not her first time around, but her first time kind of understanding a little more what's going on. So it's an awesome time. It's nice to be able to have something to get your mind off the game when you get home and get outside the rink, you know. So it's awesome having all this stuff to do with the young ones.
So you've got a firefighter in the house. You've got a Dalmatian this year. So the outfits are picked out. The kids are ready to roll. I want to ask, how's it been like adjusting to San Jose? You've played in this Pacific Division on a handful of occasions, but you've never been in San Jose within the Sharks organization. How's the family adjusting to new surroundings?
It's good. It's a lot warmer than Belleville. So they're definitely appreciating that. It's nice that, you know, we're able to enjoy the outdoors all the time, and the organization's been great so far. So it's been a good adjustment, and everyone seems to be liking the change.
Well, you competed against John McCarthy quite a bit as a player in the Pacific Division. Now as your head coach, is that kind of an adjustment to have that different type of role where you played against a guy? And I don't know if you've ever dealt with that before, but how does that change when now all of a sudden he's your coach?
Yeah, it's different. It's kind of all come full circle, right? But it's good. It's nice to have, a grown-up relationship with him and be able to, voice our opinions and be adult about it and kind of help try to get things heading in the right direction. So, I played against J-Mac back in the day, and even Hags and I, used to play together, and we even got into a little fight back in the day, so we kind of got that going for us too. But I feel like, you know, I'm 31 now, so most places I go, I've played against a lot of the players, or I've played against the coaches at this point, and it's all come full circle.
Well, there's no doubt the AHL at this point is a younger league, maybe younger than it's ever been. But you mentioned it, you're now in your early 30s. You've been playing pro hockey for over a decade. You started as an undrafted player, kind of a long shot to get where you are. What do you think about when you think about the career that you've had so far and you continue to have?
I try not to look, too far into it. That's kind of been the approach the whole way, right? Is I think if you just kind of, you go day by day and you just kind of build your blocks, then, next thing you know, you're 11 years into a career and you're having fun with it, right? So I play for different things than I did when I started, right? Like, I got a family now and I'm, pushing for them, and I have different priorities, but it's been a really fun journey and I'm happy to do it. And I'll keep doing it for a while if they let me.
I want to ask, when you were in junior, every player, I think, has that point in their career, and sometimes it takes until they get to the pro level, but you found a niche. I mean, you've scored goals, you've been a productive player both at the junior and the pro ranks, but you also realized, it seemed like from an early age, that part of your game was going to be to have a physical element and be willing to drop the gloves. Was that always something that was just in your nature, or something that you had to kind of build up over time?
I think I've always maybe had a little bit of edge to me, but you know, you also develop that side of your game, right? And you gain confidence with it kind of as you go through it, and you get, you know, you get a little more comfortable with it. And it was either that, or, you know, I wasn't going to be in the lineup at times, or I may not be in the league anymore and stuff like that. So it's a bit of a desperate mindset, you know, when it came to it. And now it's, you know, it's just part of my game. It's part of my DNA. So it's helps us open up some ice for our guys out there and for me at times. And yeah.
You grew up in Orleans, Ontario. Did you grow up a Leafs fan in that area?
Oh, no. Don't say that. You get me in trouble. Ottawa fan. We were always kind of rivals with the Leafs growing up. You know, it was like the Ty Domi era and Daniel Alfredson and all that. So lots of good heated hockey back then, and lots of good players to model our games after.
So what was it like to play not just for the Ottawa Senators for as long as you did, but you also played your first NHL game as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs, if I'm not mistaken. So you played on both sides. What was that like?
Yeah, it was really cool to start in Ottawa and to get to play there was really cool. And that was kind of the whole definition of comes full circle is, you know, I'd been chasing the dream for 7 years at that point. I've been out in California, whatever, and then to finally come home and get a crack at the NHL was really cool. And to have, you know, all my family there to support me, and then like you said, my first actual game was in Toronto, and I was lucky enough to get one to go. I scored my first game, so that was, you know, shocked me as much as it shocked anyone else.
Well, it's funny. I actually remember that. And I forgive me, because I said that you started with the Maple Leafs, but that was the following year. You played a game with the Maple Leafs. So you got both sides. Then you went back to Ottawa. So you were there a couple of times.
Yeah.
I do remember that first goal, because that was at that point you had not played the NHL. Then all of a sudden you signed with Ottawa and you spent the entire year there. You score your first NHL goal. What was that like, and how did that come to be? Did you expect to make that team? Did you expect to spend the 4 year? Like, where did that all come from?
No, it was a complete surprise to me. I had been on a PTO. Actually, I was on three PTOs with Stockton the year before. So, you know, that's a lot of uncertainty and some moving parts and what have you. And then the next year I signed a PTO with Ottawa. I did have some familiarity. Sorry, my puppy here is saying hi. I had some familiarity with the coach and DJ Smith. He was my coach in junior, so he did know what I brought to the table, and they were in, you know, a pretty good rebuild. So there was some opportunity, and I came out. I had a really good camp, and I kind of, you know, forced their hand a little bit. I think I was kind of, you know, in the mix and creating something most nights, and so I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to start there, and things went well, and we had a good year until COVID hit.
You started in the AHL, as we talked about, and it took you a handful of years to get that opportunity at the NHL level. As an undrafted player, you started within LA's organization, you bounced around a little bit. Was there ever a sense of doubt that that opportunity would never come, or did you always, in the back of your mind, believe that it could happen?
Yeah, no, there was definitely some doubt at times, but also I think in this profession you have to always, you know, keep some belief, right? And so there was probably moments of doubt, but I think, you know, the big picture in the back of my head was like, well, you know, just keep grinding and keep showing up and, you know, see what happens. So I was lucky enough to get a chance finally, and but yeah, there's ups and downs in a hockey career, right? And day to day and whatever it is, well, as is life. But it's important to kind of just keep moving forward, right? And good things will happen.
Was it disappointing to not be drafted? You played in the OHL and to not hear your name called. Was that a surprise or something that you were kind of expecting to not be drafted?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting to be drafted. You know, I was just playing junior hockey and having fun and seeing how far I could take it. I wasn't drafted into the OHL either, for that matter. So it was, you know, I was never highly touted. I was a hardworking player that, you know, could use some work on his feet or some work on his hands or whatever kind of work it was, right? So, but, you know, you just kind of keep showing up and keep outworking guys, and you know, people start to fall off, and next thing you know, you're a little higher up the ranks than you thought.
Did you think from an early age that you wanted to be a pro hockey player, or is this again just something that kind of happened over time and just manifested a little bit over time?
Yeah, I mean, I think you always dream of it, you know, as a kid, but like I said, I was never really the star. So it wasn't, you know, like, oh, I'm just going to go be a pro hockey player, right? It was like, well, let's keep playing hockey and let's just kind of see what comes of it. And, you know, I ended up in a good position where I've been able to make a living out of it. So, yeah, it's been awesome, but definitely, you know, was never expected. And so every day I cherish.
When did it all start for you? Just hockey in general, lacing up the skates, kind of fall in love with it.
Yeah, my dad's a very passionate hockey fan, and so he kind of always had it on, and I started playing, I guess, as young as you can. I mean, they probably had me on skates at 2 or 3 or whatever it was, but I guess I started playing when I was 5 or 6, and, you know, the rest is kind of history.
Was there any other sports that you liked, or was it always hockey?
Yeah, no, I was very active in sports. I played a little bit of everything. I'd say lacrosse was kind of like my number two, but they're just – aren't as many options in the lacrosse world, so it was kind of like, you know, you pick between hockey or lacrosse at some point when you become a teenager, and hockey made a little more sense. I played soccer, I played some, you know, all the high school sports, football, baseball, all that stuff, so I was always active in sports. Yeah,
you said lacrosse. What position, and were you a similar style of player lacrosse wise as hockey, or a little bit different?
Yeah, no, I was pretty skilled at lacrosse, but I think I also had that edge on me there too, so that helped. But you know, you kind of need that. Like we played box lacrosse in Canada, right? So that's inside the rink. It's a pretty rough sport. We played a bit of field in high school as well, so then you open it up and it's more of a skilled game. But yeah, I could put the ball in the net there a little better than I put the puck in the net.
All right, fair enough. Any other kids that you grew up with as a kid that played both sports? Was that just something that was commonplace in the area? You'd kind of play both. If you play hockey, you probably play lacrosse, vice versa.
Yeah, I think it's just great kind of summer training. It's awesome cardio, and the play kind of develops the same in certain senses. And it's a lot of good hand eye. It's a good physical sport. So I think a lot of guys that are good hockey players often started lacrosse too. Cody Ceci is one that I grew up playing with, who's, you know, doing very well now. And he was always a great lacrosse player too. So there's a few guys around Ottawa like that.
So who did you idolize as a kid, hockey wise? Who was the guy that you loved?
I kind of grew up a Joe Sakic fan. I just like, you know, the way he fired the puck, and we always liked the Colorado Avalanche. So, I would say him. I don't necessarily play like him, but he was always fun to watch. And then, you know, the Ottawa guys, we always followed closely, so I always respected, you know, the battles between Chris Neal and Ty Domi and Darcy Tucker and those guys like that. So I wouldn't say there's anyone in particular, but I just enjoyed, you know, the game.
So your first full season, I believe at the AHL level, you were in Manchester, which was affiliated with LA before everybody came out west. You guys won the Calder Cup that year. I know, just looking at your stats, you didn't play in the playoffs. So how did that all come to be? Was it just a situation as a young player you didn't get in?
Yeah, so I had a pretty good rookie year. And then I think it was my second year we won it all, right? So that year I tore my MCL. So I was out for 6 to 8 weeks. I want to say like after Christmas kind of onward. So at that point they were kind of filling a spot. So they brought in Paul Bissonnette. And so he, you know, he did a good job, and he popped in there, and they were kind of got rolling, and I was kind of on the outside looking in. So, you know, I played whatever 40, 50 games that year, I guess it was. And then the boys took it home and won it all. So it was fun to, you know, be a part of the ride and see how it all goes about. And it was fun to celebrate with the guys, and it was a fun year.
There's a lot of guys that went and played in the NHL from that team, and that's how it often works, right? These teams that have success at the AHL level usually are filled with future NHLers. Was there anything or like one common denominator about that team, and why you guys had such a good run and went all the way?
Off the top of my head, not really. We just had a lot of, I mean, we played a good style of hockey. We played a hard game. We played together. You know, the guys would go to war for each other. We are all very close. So I think it's got to be a lot of factors most years when they win it all. And I'd say in our year, it was, you know, good camaraderie and a lot of good players, good goaltending, and a bit of good luck.
Mike Stuthers, I believe, was your head coach during that season. Very well-respected guy in the hockey world. Without picking out in a negative way any coaches you've had, who's been your favorite coach over all these years? Who's the guy that you've just really kind of bonded with? And we can take J-Mac out of it. You're still building that relationship. Who's the guy that you felt like their style fit the person that you were?
Yeah, there's a handful, but, you know, DJ Smith kind of gave me my start in Ottawa. So, and also he kind of brought me along in junior where I hadn't quite been the player I was until he instilled confidence in me in my overage years. So, you know, I'd put him up there. Troy Mann and David Bell were really good for me in Belleville. You know, they respected my game. They respected me as a person and, you know, gave me lots of confidence and lots of leash, and I was able to play some good hockey. So, yeah, I'd put those guys right up at the top of the list for sure.
We talked about it at the start. You've got two youngsters and your wife, and you guys, you know, every couple of years, just the way hockey works, sometimes you're going to different cities and living in different areas. So how have things changed for you from being a rookie and a guy who maybe didn't have a ton of responsibilities to now being a father and having to account for all those other elements aside from just going to the rink and playing?
Yeah, it's busy. You know, you wake up a little more tired now that you have a couple kids, right? But you get used to it, and it's such an awesome problem to have, right? Having two young, loving kids and a loving wife and a good family. Like, it's an amazing situation, and it's fun to get to show them around, and it's fun to get to experience this with them and for them, you know, to come to the rink and see me play. And like I said, it's nice to get away from the rink and to be able to turn your head off of hockey and you know, focus on things outside of that. And there's so much to do out here in this California sun with them. So we were down at the beach yesterday, and we're always, you know, doing different things and finding different day trips and exploring new areas. So it's been awesome. Yeah.
I think we have to put it in perspective because they just had the Heritage Classic up in Edmonton, and I think it's already freezing out there. So we just have to remember, always put it into perspective how lucky we are with the weather, because it's fall right now in the Bay Area and it's been cooking. So I'm sure that's a nice little bonus when you're playing for a team and living in a city where it's still nice when you get to fall and even through the winter. And you've dealt with this. You've lived down in Southern California and you've been in this Pacific Division. Looking at the team that you guys have this year, you know, some veteran players on this group. And I think from a talent standpoint, it's only a matter of time before things start to gel and you guys start getting the results to go your way. What have you thought, though, of just new teammates, new surroundings, and kind of building those relationships?
It's been good. Like you said, you know, we've got off to a little bit of a rocky start here, but I believe in the guys in that dressing room, and I think we have some good character. So, you know, oftentimes in a season, a team will go through a lull, right? So hopefully we're just getting ours over with at the start. You always need to kind of to feel that, to know how to get through it and how to persevere when it comes down to it later in the season. So, you know, I think once we get one, we'll get a bunch. And yeah, the group's been great and things are good. So we're just kind of waiting for our next game here. Whenever you're coming off a loss, you kind of just are counting down the days to get back into it, right? And try to get back in the win column.
Our next games, without dating this interview, will be up north of the border in Calgary, back to the homeland, if you will, although you're on the other side of the country. Is it fun to go back up there, up to Canada, and just be immersed back kind of in your culture and what you're used to?
Yeah, absolutely. Calgary's a passionate hockey town, so I'm sure it'll be a fun rink there and a fun game. And it's nice to go get, you know, a bit of Timmy's coffee into me and a couple things I'm used to and that my body run on best, right? So yeah, it'll be nice to get over there. And it's nice to go there early before the extreme temperature is hit and the heavy snow.
Yes, yeah, for sure. We hit it last year, dead of winter, and it was an experience to say the least. But hey, you got to toughen us up a little bit, us Californians. We're talking to Scott Sabourin, Barracuda forward. You're from Orleans, Ontario. Where do you spend your off seasons with the family these days?
So we kind of moved. We're still in Ottawa. We just kind of headed west a little bit. So Kanata is where the Sens play, and we're about 20 minutes north of that, kind of out in the boonies there, a little area called Woodlawn. So that's where we kind of set our ground. It's a nice little spot. We got a little kind of cottagey type setup on the river, and it's great for the kids, and it's great for, you know, the dog, and to kind of reset and get away.
Well, you don't have to think about this, especially because you've been in professional hockey for over a decade. But what do you think you'd be doing if you weren't a hockey player?
That's a good question. I'm not sure, to be honest. When I was younger, I kind of, the PHBA always mentioned this FESTI firefighting program. So that kind of always piqued my interest. I think it's, you know, a noble job that, you know, kind of revolves around teamwork and hard work and physicality and staying in shape. So that kind of checks a lot of the boxes. So maybe something along those lines.
What is an off season like for a player, just to kind of fill fans in, when you're maybe not signed and you're still training and working out because you're going to continue to play, you just don't know where it's going to be? What is that like? And then this off season signing with the Sharks, you know, how does that all come to be? Obviously your agent's probably telling you that you've got some teams interested, but just walk us through that entire process.
Yeah. So I would say back in the day, it came with a little more stress, you know, cause you just didn't know when your next job was coming, and it's something you're not familiar with, and you're just kind of like in limbo. Right. But in more recent years, it's like every year I've ended up playing hockey. Right. So the job's going to come, and basically all I can worry about is getting ready for it. So I don't know where I'm headed yet or whatever it is, but you go to the gym and you get on the ice and you get ready and you take care of yourself and you get to enjoy some time off and spend it with family. But we try not to stress in the off season too much. Right. I mean, and things have worked out. And what was the second part of your question again?
Just the whole process, finding out maybe that a team or two is interested this year. It was the Sharks.
Right. Yeah, I know. So my agent called me with a few different options, and the Sharks kind of fit a lot of the framework of, you know, what we were looking for, and it came together nicely. So it was July 1st. We were enjoying some Canada Day festivities at the place with some family up, and I got the call. So it was it's always nice getting it over with nice and early like that.
We had an assistant coach for a couple of years, Jimmy Bonham. He's still with the organization as a scout, tough guy during his career. He would always give guys little pointers. And I know for many years, he'd go to boxing classes, and he was really into MMA. As a guy who fights for a living, amongst other things, have you done any of that over your career just to continue to work on kind of the fighting skills?
Yeah, not really. I was like... in high school, I wrestled and stuff, and like kind of grew up, you know, always roughhousing with buddies and stuff like that, but never much like professional training, kind of just, you know, live and learn type stuff, get in there and see how you can do. I try to work on, you know, my skills in the summer and trying to put the puck in the net, because I think that'll keep you around a little longer when it's all said and done if you start to learn to do that. So, the fighting, you know, I got a pretty good grasp on, so I'm mostly comfortable in there, and I don't train too hard on it in the summer. No,
it's funny. You mentioned the goals. Paul Bissonnette, who you alluded to as a teammate for a little bit, he always talks about you never score too many goals, because then they expect you to score goals. He's being facetious, obviously, during his career. I think if he could have scored as many as you have during your career, he would have certainly taken it. But just again, looking ahead with this group and some of these young players, you've evolved in your career as any player would, from maybe a green, you know, having a green mind frame in terms of just youthfulness, to now a veteran. How has that approach changed, if at all? Have you become more vocal? Have you kind of embraced being a veteran player? How has that changed for you over your career?
Yeah, it's fun. I think, you know, guys kind of look up to you at times, which is good. And I try to lead by example. I mean, I think I'm also a vocal guy, but, you know, I just try to teach guys little things and, you know, let them know that what you're doing is a heck of a gig, and, you know, you're playing hockey for a living. And so, you know, work hard, but take a deep breath and appreciate it. And just, you know, keep your perspective on things, right? Like, you lose a game and everyone's, you know, down in the dumps for a week. It's like, well, you know, in the grand scheme of things are okay, but let's get back to work. Let's work hard the next day and let's try and get back to winning. But yeah, just little things, right? Little things that I've picked up over the years. that might be able to help them. I just, you know, I want to see these young guys do well, right? And if I made mistakes as a young kid, well, I want to see them. I want to teach them, you know, how not to make that mistake type thing, right? So
you've been in lots of training camps. You've played in the NHL. You've been around some amazing players. Who would you say is maybe the most skilled guy that you've ever been on the ice with?
The most skilled guy I've ever been on the ice with. Well, I mean, when I was with that Toronto group, there's a handful of them, right? Between Marner and Matthews and Nylander. And then you look at the Ottawa guys. I mean, you got Timmy Stützle. Like, this guy's a heck of a hockey player, right? He can do it all. So you got Brady Tkachuk, which is like the ultimate kind of power forward type setup. So there's lots of pretty impressive players that I've gotten to see play, and it's been an honor doing so.
What was your favorite building that you played in at the NHL level?
I would say Vegas was kind of a pretty cool show, because it kind of felt like you were like the Vegas show that night type thing, right? So I got in a fight against Reeves there one time, so that was like a pretty exciting big moment, right? It was like a lot of energy in the building, pretty hype around it. So I'd say Vegas. Like, you walk through the casino on the way in, and it's just like very different, right? It's not like anything you're used to in the hockey world, really. So I think they do a good job there.
Yeah, I went to one playoff game their first season, and it was incredible. Just the type of pregame things that are going on, whether it's Vegas style dancers walking the concourse or climbing on poles. It was just a crazy experience, and the music is so loud too. It's hard to not get fired up. You mentioned dropping the gloves with Reeves. Is that something, when you look at a team and you're kind of scouting a team, you know who their tough guys are, you know that may be a potential scenario. Do you go into a game thinking about that too often, or is it just like, hey, if it happens organically, it happens?
Yeah, it depends on the scenario. I'd say in my older age, I try to let it happen organically. I go out and I play hard, and if it forces their hand and they come over, well, then, you know, we'll deal with it. But I kind of trying to have a hockey first approach now. But, you know, that being said, when it was with Reeves and whatever, that was a bit of a different situation in the NHL. So I was still scratching, clawing to stay up there and prove myself and prove to the guys that I was willing to do it. So I kind of went looking for that one. So I guess it's, you know, situational. It depends on the game. You know, for down a goal or two and you need a spark, then that might be a good time. Or other times, you know, if the guy's looking for it and you're up a couple goals, you might not want to give them that life, right? So it's there's a lot to it, and it's very situational.
At this point in your career, what's your favorite part about coming to the rink every day?
Getting on the ice and playing hockey, man. It's a heck of a job, and it's fun to be out there. I mean, obviously game day is the best, but practice days are fun too, right? You're working on your craft, and you're yupping it up with the guys, and you're having fun, and you're playing hockey. So it's always going to be getting on the ice. It's fun.
What's your favorite thing to do away from the rink?
In the summers, I like golfing. I like boating with my family. I like, you know, like yesterday with the kids, we went down to the beach. We went down towards Half Moon Bay and kind of drove down the coast and explored some beach. So that's been pretty special, getting to get down and enjoy the sunshine and the beach time before it gets too cold around here, if that happens. But yeah, we have lots of hobbies, but we like, you know, day tripping with the kids and trying to find new adventures.
What do the kids make of the beach?
They love it. My son thinks he's a little pirate, and so he's always on a treasure hunt and looking for different X's and treasures and what have you, and seashells, and it's great.
That's amazing. Well, I always offer to the guys, and a couple of guys have taken me up on it, but me being the Santa Cruz resident and somebody who kind of grew up in around the surfing culture, I always offer lessons for anybody who wants to go. So if the kiddos ever want to come over to Santa Cruz, I've got some extra boards, and we'll get them out in the water, and you know, it's a little cold, but it's still a lot of fun.
That would be awesome. We messed around a little bit when we were in San Diego. My wife and I had got a couple boards, the Kirkland Specials.
Those, yep, I've got two of those.
Yeah. We try to avoid out on the water. Yeah, we were them. But no, it was lots of fun. And it's an amazing way to spend, you know, a couple hours.
Yeah, it's San Diego is even a whole nother level, because the water's warm down there, at least in the summertime. So hard to beat. Sabs, we appreciate the time. It's been great to kind of get to know you in the early stages of this year, and continue to get to know you over the rest of the year. But best of luck along the way, and thank you again for the time.
Thank you for having me, Knowles. I appreciate it.
A big thank you to Barracuda forward Scott Sabourin. That'll do it for this edition of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger saying thanks for listening and so long until next time.
This has been a presentation of San Jose Barracuda Hockey.
So this ain't the end. I saw you again.